time I said about if you believe Jesus died for your sins, you are a son of God in that you're an heir of that which belongs to Christ. If God deemed Christ to have not sinned, and you've got Christ's righteousness, you believe Christ died for your sins, according to the word of God, you're a son of God in that you're an heir of your father's, in that you're an heir of Christ. You have the righteousness of Christ. Whether you're male or female, Christian, like you're son of the living God or daughter of the living God, and God has a plan for you of how he wants. God has a plan for you. You're a guardian, you're what part of the body you are, you're for your ministry, and you can start your ministry, you know, just by being righteous. You don't have to wait till you've attained a certain amount of self-righteousness, or as nowadays called, personal holiness. You are actually righteous before God, and you have peace with God, and you can go straight up to God, and you can go, God, what do you want me to do today? Alright, so that's what I said last time. Today, you told us to speak about it, like the love of God, which I don't mind doing, but in a certain way, it always makes me feel not nice when I'm told to do this, because you know, if I stand there preaching the word of God about your righteousness, there's loads of word of God that I know. So, you know, I told you the last 10 times I spoke here, I only get told what I'm going to say just before coming to the meeting. But I do have a wealth of knowledge about the word of God regarding the righteousness of God, so it doesn't feel that of a hard thing to do. But there's hardly anything in the word of God about the love of God straight, so to be told to speak on it when I haven't planned it, and also I don't know that much about it apart from the word of God. I do know a lot about it from what I've been told by God, but that is a spoken word to me rather than the written word of God, which I don't mind. If I'm told to talk about it, I'll talk about it, but in a surface way, you know, often makes me feel funny to do that. But that feeling in a surface way is something that I want to talk about later as well. But right, so just going to do it. So yeah, I can only do it in the way that I'm told to. So it will be to do with the love of God, even if. Anyway, right, you are a son or daughter of God by your faith in Christ. The thing I want to tell you is that you are. You're born again on the inside. You're actually holy on the inside. So your body, soul, and spirit. You have a spiritual part that inhabits your physical body. That spiritual part has a sensor, which is your spirit, which is in Christ, which is born again, which is made holy in Christ. And then you have mind, will, and emotions on the outside of your soul. Your mind is what you think with. Your emotions are what you feel with, and your will is what you choose to do stuff with. You were born again in Christ, your inside was made holy. So the identity of your spirit, which is the center of your person, so the identity of you is born again. What I want to say is you are actually holy before God. It's not an in theory holy before God.
Right, sorry to disturb you, our key doesn't work before that God.
You're actually holy before God. You're actually holy before God. You're actually holy before God, so... when you became born again in Christ, your spirit was made holy. You know, I've told you that before, but you on the inside are actually holy before God. So if Satan come along to you and say, okay, you're righteous before God, so you're at peace with God, but you're not a very nice person. So what he tries to do is, you know, I've told you, you've got your ticket in your back pocket to be straight with God. You know, God's declared you righteous, you have that. That's how you're at peace with God, that's how your sins are forgiven. You know, and Satan can attack that, so you're not righteous, but you know, I've told you you are, told you when the word of God it says you are. So you'll try that for a while, but then when he stops trying it on with that, he'll move on to, okay, you are righteous then. But it's nothing to do with you. You actually are not a nice person. So he stops going for one thing and he goes for the other thing. So your sensor, your spirit, it was sinful when you were born, before you became a Christian. But when you believe Christ died for your sins, your inside bit was actually changed. And it doesn't have a sinful nature, it has a holy nature. It's born again in God. So if you put a £20 note in a book and burn the book, there's only one thing that happens to the £20 note, and that's £20 note goes the same way as the book and it gets burnt. Your spirit was joined to Christ. Now Christ died, and then by the power of God, he was brought back from the dead. Now your spirit was in Christ when Christ, being actually dead, was somehow miraculously raised to life by God. When that power was poured out upon Christ, and Christ, who was actually dead, got brought back to life, which no person has ever been able to do since. You can't just make somebody that's dead back to life, but God, by his power, he made somebody that was dead to life. Your spirit was in Christ when he did that, and the power by which Christ was raised from the dead is the power by which your spirit on the inside was fundamentally and forensically changed. It wasn't just it got born again, but that doesn't mean anything. You got born again, and that does mean something. That means that your centre of you spiritually, the centre of your person, centre of your man or centre of your woman, was actually changed by the same power that raised God, that raised Jesus from the dead. Your spirit was sinful, did have a sinfulness like all the rest of you, but that got changed and it got made differently, got born again. Your sinful inside spirit died, and then that centre of you that was sinful, it died to what it was, so it was no more, and then it got brought back to life. But when it got brought back to life, it got brought back to life and changed when it got brought back to life. So your inside, by the power of God, is actually made different than it used to be before you believed. It is actually changed. God's nature is holy, which means it's hard to describe what holy is. Holy is holy is what God is, and to describe that, you have to describe other characteristics of God. So God is good. God is good. You know, a simple definition of holy is good. Like your spirit was sinful, but now it's made holy. And the best explanation I give is that is your spirit was made of the same character as God is. And one of those characteristics is your spirit is good. So I have to tell you that you actually are on your inside good and holy, and you have been changed. So when Satan goes, yeah, okay, you're righteous, but you're not a very nice person, that's false. What he's trying to get you to do is look at your outside and saying that's true of you all the way through. But it's not. It's like, it's true of your outside, but you have a center of you that is actually you, is actually a substantial part of you, it's the center of you that has been made holy. And so Satan goes, you may be righteous, but you're not a very nice person. It's actually false. You are a nice person on the inside. Your deepest part, your inside, has been made holy, and that is fixed since you've believed Christ died for your sins. So the center of you is actually a nice person. The outside of you is still sinful, and that's probably what he's pointing to when he points things out. But I have to tell you, your main stance against Satan is that you are righteous and you are accepted by God. But then when he goes and he gives up on that, when he goes, right, I'm just gonna go for your personality, your character, like what you actually are. He goes, you're horrible all the way through. It's like, you're not horrible all the way through. You're actually holy and made of nice stuff and good on the inside. So I have to tell you that about you, because that is what you are. Okay, so some things that come from that. So your inside is holy, which means all the time your inside has a desire to like God, to like the things of God, to want to relate to God. That doesn't change. So it doesn't matter what your surface feelings are. And when I mean surface feelings, I mean in your physical body you have a soul. The center of your soul is holy. The outside bit of your soul, your mind, will, and your emotions, you can be thinking about what you're thinking about, you can be feeling about what you're feeling, but you have a part underneath that 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 is your spirit, that is, that remains holy irrespective of what you're doing or what you're feeling. Now your spirit can know stuff, and your spirit can feel stuff as well. The knowing of your spirit is different than the thinking of your mind. Similar type of thing, but you can think about stuff or you can know stuff. It's a bit similar, but you think about stuff with your mind, which is the outside of your soul, but you can know stuff in the inside of your soul. You can feel stuff with your emotions on the outside of your soul, but you can have a deep feeling of stuff on the inside of your soul. And what I want to say is your spirit is completely protected from the fluctuations of your thinking or the fluctuations of your feeling that the outside of you has. So what I'm saying is this, is that, like, if Jesus was around the people at the Sea of Galilee, and you know, they were out fishing in the boats, and there's a big storm came. Now, if a storm comes upon a sea, the storm only affects the first few meters of water. After a few meters, it doesn't matter how stormy it is, it doesn't affect the water underneath, right? It doesn't affect the water underneath. You know, the fish 10 meters down don't know there's a storm on. And what I'm saying is your spiritual part, there's a certain depth which is like, you know, the edge of your spirit, like beneath which you can't be harmed by any thing that happen, any stuff that happens to you on the surface. You can't. Your spirit is in Christ. It is completely protected. The things that you know in Christ are completely protected from what you, from any doubts that your head might have, and the feelings of peace that you have in your spirit are completely protected by any temporary uneasiness that your emotions might feel. What I'm saying is there's two parts to you spiritually. There's your spirit, which is completely protected in Christ, no stuff that's fixed and feels the peace of God. And then there's the surface fluctuations on the top, which is you could feel anxious about a day, you could feel annoyed about someone. You spend your time talking to Mormons and for 5 minutes not quite get that Christ died for you. But that's only surface fluctuations in your feelings and your thoughts. Underneath, the stuff that you encounter in the day can't be, it doesn't touch what you know in your spirit and what you feel in your spirit. And there's a point in me saying this. So I've told you that you are, like, you are actually holy, irrespective of the behaviour of your flesh. And a secondary thing that I want to say is that, you know, if you're having doubts about, you know, the Word of God or something like that, that is separate to what you know to be true. It is a separate thing. And if you're annoyed on your surface, that is a separate thing than what you actually feel about the situation underneath. And I'm just meant to tell you about you. And an off spin is that if you're there's a thing in the world about be true to what you are. And then Satan goes, what you are is you're annoyed with that person. So, to be true to yourself, go and completely blast them. Because that's what you are. Because that's what your feelings are. And I have to tell you, that's what your surface feelings are. There's a part of you that doesn't, that stays quite stable underneath, that is protected, that is in Christ, that is holy, that is not your annoyedness at somebody. And therefore, there is a justification where you don't have to act according to different surface feelings of annoyance and stuff in order to be true to yourself. Satan goes, you're not going to protect yourself. You're annoyed with that bloke. Go and tell him you're annoyed. Otherwise, you're pretty weak, aren't you? You're not sticking up for you. You're not sticking up for you. These are your feelings. You're not sticking up for you. And I'm telling you, there's a deep down you. And that is not in agreement with feelings of annoyance that you might have about somebody. Okay, I just want to stop there on that one. How it's related to the love of God is that your spirit is born again and holy, and your spirit has a desire to relate to God. It wants to relate to God. It has a love for God, and it likes the love of God. So I want to tell you about you. Satan can go to you. You're not interested in the love of God. You don't feel like you love God. And what I'm saying, it doesn't matter what he points out your surface feelings are. There's a part of you which is truly you that is underneath, and that all the time does like the love of God, and that all the time does have a love for God. And sort of best analogy you can use is that in your spirit, like water to your spirit is like the word of God. So when your spirit hears the word of God, it like feeds it with water and grows in that respect. But the love of God, when you're exposed to the love of God through anybody being kind to you, through feeling the love of God, that is like sunshine to your inside bit, and your inside bit likes that. So your spirit is like a flower that opens up in the presence of the love of God. In the same way that somebody might say that somebody's souls or emotions, they might be like a flower that opens up with the affection of others. When people are nice to them, they suddenly blossom. You know, some people, you know, just blossom when people are nice to them. They're just like a flower that blossoms. I want to tell you about you, that you have a spirit, and your spirit is like a flower that blossoms in the presence of the word of God and in the presence of the love of God. The love of God is like sunshine to your spirit, and your spirit is like a flower that opens up in the presence of the love of God. Whatever form that love of God is, whether it is the love of God sent to you through people being kind, or whether it's the love of God sent to you through God just making it known to you that he loves you, your spirit is like a flower that opens up in the presence of the love of God. And I have to stop there.